Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, you're in the sports bar. After hours, Mike Danger joined by one of our regulars, Ryan Talbot, covering the Buffalo Bills for NewYorkUpstate.com. And Ryan, before we get into the latest with the Buffalo Bills and the world of sports, I want to first and foremost know how you and yours are holding up through the pandemic. How's everything?
Yeah, you know, we're doing okay right now. I think the kids, they're about ready for summer to hit because I think they're kind of sick of this learning at home. But I think that's where everyone's at right now. But in terms of health, we're all happy, all healthy. And right now, that's the most important thing.
And surviving, even though we don't have any real live sports, very limited choices when it comes to live sports here. I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures. I know you're like me. You were probably catching out some of that world champion, world-class cornhole that ESPN was dishing out there, right?
Yeah, I sat down and watched that for about 30 to 45 minutes, and it really made me realize how much I was missing actual sports, you know, those major sports that I sit down and watch all the time. It was definitely unique, that's for sure.
Well, the world is changing, and it's going to be different when we come back. I mean, the sports that we love to watch most are full contact, and it's impossible to social distance. You can social distance in cornhole. It's just still weird seeing, you know, people wearing their face masks while they're tossing beanbags across a court. The other one from this weekend, the first professional golf outing, the Skins game, the charity Skins game, you know, like everything is viewed under a different lens now. Like, oh, they're not really social distancing. Where are their face masks? What's going on here? These guys are, they're not playing it safe.
Yeah, those athletes are going to be criticized for the, you know, for the immediate time being, but it's going to be what happens 2 weeks from now, 1 month from now. Have any of those athletes ended up getting COVID-19? Have they spread it? Because then obviously that would be an absolute disaster. But I think right now these sports have certain things in place to try to keep their athletes as safe as possible. You just have to hope that it ends up playing out, because looking ahead a little bit here, it seems like the NFL especially is pretty set on playing this fall.
Yeah, I want to get to the latest on the Bills, the latest on Ed Oliver. Before we get to that, more of just a philosophical kind of thought starter for you. And it stems from watching The Last Dance and realizing how Michael Jordan's competitiveness was contagious, how it made everybody around him, whether they liked it or not, better. And, you know, I'm not sure that we'll ever see a professional athlete like that again because of the way times have changed. I mean, maybe you could say the most recent example would be Brady during his time as a Patriot during some of those Super Bowl years. But I'm curious, from somebody who covers this team as closely as you do, is there someone on this Bills roster right now who you believe has that rare ability to go ahead and make those around him better?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, I was recently did an interview with Lorenzo Alexander, and he caught me off by surprise when he said the most competitive person on this Bills roster was Tremaine Edmonds. Edmonds, obviously a young kid, very good player, Pro Bowl player, and he's just 22 years old, but he's so soft-spoken. He seems so quiet that he didn't take me as that player on this roster. If I were to pick someone, that would be that way. I think that a guy like Stephon Diggs, he's a big competitor, and I think sometimes that gets confused with being a diva. But I think there's a fine line there. I think it's more so of him wanting, you know, to be the best type of wide receiver possible and for his team to be as successful as possible. You can make a case for Josh Allen. I think, if anything, it's great that Josh Allen every offseason spends time with Sam Darnold as they're in that same quarterback camp. I think Joe Burrow might actually be in that now, too. So even if it's not in season, I could see him being competitive with those guys in the offseason, and that could obviously translate over as well.
Yeah, it's not like the professional athletes of today aren't competitive. They just, they're cut from a different cloth than Jordan was. And now, kind of seeing how relentless this guy was in his quest for greatness, maybe some of that rubs off on anybody who's watched it, who didn't really realize how ridiculous Jordan was in terms of how he competed?
Oh, I could absolutely see that being the case. That could be a big time motivator, some of these athletes. You know, Jordan was, like you said, though, he's a unique breed. He's the guy that got absolutely everything out of his teammates, even if that meant rubbing them the wrong way or maybe not having the greatest relationships with them.
He's a bully.
Yeah, you definitely say that after, especially after watching it. You know, I had actually read the book, The Jordan Rules, before they mentioned it on that series, and it definitely painted him in that light in that book as well.
Ryan, let's get the latest on Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Ed Oliver. It was a weekend of regret for Ed Oliver, I'm sure, after the arrests in Texas. What do we know?
Yeah, you know, we know that he obviously made that bad decision, had the open beer can between his legs, which is pretty amazing in itself when he ended up getting pulled over. But, you know, the Bills seem to be wanting to play this out through the legal process. They did find a pistol in the car, but the pistol charge has more to do with the alcohol charge than anything else. So it seems like the Bills are going to play this out, see how it goes through the legal process, see what ends up sticking on this case. Obviously, they still want him, though, involved. He's been taking part in that virtual offseason training. And, you know, it's not an excuse, but if this had been a typical normal NFL year, he would have been in Buffalo for these, you know, these trainings, and this probably would not have occurred. But at the same time, you know, it's a learning experience, hopefully, for Ed Oliver, and it's something that hopefully we never see him participate in again.
Knowing that this is his first offense in the league with substance abuse, is there a suspension with the new CBA? I think the things are a little bit murky for me. I'm trying to figure out, all right, his first offense, it's not a good one. There was a weapon involved. Is Ed Oliver facing any sort of suspension from the league, depending on how this all plays out in the legal system?
Yeah, someone found something that said possibly up to a 3-game suspension based on that new CBA. And, you know, whether or not the league deems it to be the full 3-game suspension is yet to be seen. Obviously, he could appeal that as well and maybe bring it down to a 1 or 2-game suspension. But like you said, first time offense, doesn't really have a history of anything like this. So that may end up working in his favor. And like I said before, hopefully this is a big-time learning experience for Ed and something that he can put in the rearview window and not do again.
I fear, my biggest fear, and this is a conversation I think we've had whether we're in the middle of a pandemic or not, but because everything in the world of sports now is magnified, positive or negative, and this being a negative story, it is magnified. I'm worried about people turning on not just the Bills, not just a specific player, but on sports in general because of the stigma of a professional athlete and the sense of entitlement that comes with that. The idea that Ed Oliver thinks it's okay to drive recklessly during a pandemic when everybody else is wearing face masks and practicing social distancing and having an open container and a pistol in his car. Is there any fear, Ryan, from, you know, and this is just your opinion, obviously, but do you have a fear that you or fans in general will view these kind of actions and just stop caring as much about sports?
I could see that being the case. You know, this wasn't a banner week for the NFL by any means. I think there were something like 4 arrests in the week with NFL players. And you're right. You have all these people that are out of work right now that are following all these guidelines, wearing the face mask, doing everything that they're told. And yet, you have these multimillionaires getting themselves into trouble, getting themselves into these predicaments that I think in every case could have been avoided. So it could definitely turn off some fans, especially those that are more casual fans. I think the diehards are always going to end up watching the sport, following the sport, but it definitely doesn't paint a great picture for the athletes or for the league in general.
Ryan, you know, with the potential suspension of Ed Oliver, I think it forces us to look a little bit closer at the Bills' defensive line underneath the jeweler's eye. Did they get better this offseason? And how much of that entire unit's success is dependent on Sean McDermott's system rather than actual talent? Because you look around the league and then you look at the Bills' defense and you've got some talented guys there, but you also have some guys that are like, yeah, they're playing a little bit above the bar. That system probably has a lot to do with the Bills' defensive unit being as successful as they've been. What do you think about the Buffalo Bills' defensive unit, that defensive line specifically, and whether or not they got better this offseason.
Yeah, I would say that they got better this offseason. And, you know, obviously some of the players they brought in had past experience with Sean McDermott. But a guy like, obviously, Mario Addison, he stands out first and foremost at the defensive end position, averaging about 9 sacks per season over the last 4 years, 39 sacks over that time. So he's a guy that's going to upgrade the defensive end position, a big-time upgrade over Shaq Lawson in terms of the pass rush part of that job. You add in some guys like Quentin Jefferson, who has the ability to play inside, outside. I think, obviously, if there is a suspension to Ed Oliver, he'll be playing a lot more inside than outside early on in the season. Vernon Butler, a guy that came alive last year under Eric Washington, the new Bills defensive line coach. So he's another guy. You have Harrison Phillips, who should be returning from an injury, where there were a lot of people last year saying that they thought that he was going to end up taking a lot of snaps away from Star Lotulelei. Star maybe won't ever live up to that contract, but he's still a solid veteran. You have another defensive tackle in Vincent Taylor. When he was called upon, has done some nice things. And then obviously at the defensive end position, you still have Jerry Hughes, who maybe he hasn't had the sack totals that you would have liked to have seen in the last few years, but he's still getting a lot of those quarterback pressures. And obviously AJ Epineza was brought in the draft. So I think that unit, you know, in terms of their talent, yes, Sean McDermott's system obviously helps them. Having a shutdown cornerback like Trey White helps them in terms of it might force a quarterback to hold the ball longer than they need to. But there's also a lot of talent there as well.
It's a prediction season, Ryan. I want to give you a handful of scenarios for you to predict. Are you down with this?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, leading rusher for the Buffalo Bills. Will it be Devin Singletary or Zach Moss?
Devin Singletary. I think that they're going to bring Moss along slowly, kind of like they did with Singletary last year, where you know, Frank Gore was getting the bulk of the carries early on in 2019. I think you're going to see the same thing where Moss maybe comes in, obviously spells Devin Singletary from time to time, but maybe he's more of a short yardage guy, goal line guy, and then just like I said, spelling Devin Singletary. I think Singletary, though, gets the bulk of the carries early on, and then it might even out later on, but when all is said and done, Singletary ends up with more rushing yards.
Leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills in 2020, John Brown or Stephon Diggs?
I'm going to go John Brown here just because of the attention Diggs is going to get. I still think Diggs is going to put up some really good numbers, but when you play the New England Patriots, you're going to have Gilmore on Stephon Diggs. When you play the Miami Dolphins, you know, they made some big moves there in their secondary. Their top cornerback, whose name now is escaping me, they signed him from the Cowboys. It will be on Stephon Diggs, so on and so forth. So I think it's really going to free up a lot for John Brown. And, you know, if there's one thing that I can say is the chemistry between Allen and John Brown is very apparent based on their first season together. So I think Brown could have an even better season in 2020 based on the attention that Stephon Diggs is going to attract from opposing defenses.
More sacks for the Buffalo Bills, Jerry Hughes or the aforementioned Tremaine Edmonds?
Ooh, I'll go Jerry Hughes just because I think they'll use Edmonds from time to time in that role in terms of blitzing. But I think Hughes is due for a bounce back. I think you could see him in that 8 to 10 sack range, especially with Addison on the other side.
What about interceptions? Who has more, Trey White or Micah Hyde?
Let's go Micah Hyde, just because I think teams are really going to be throwing it to the other side of the field as much as possible, yeah. Avoiding Trey White. Trey obviously has that ability. You know, he's shown that takeover ability in a few games last year where he can have multi interceptions when teams are desperate to throw to their top guy. But when I look across the field and I see the option of Josh Norman or Levi Wallace or EJ Gaines if he's healthy, I'm going to be throwing to that side of the field. And you know, obviously with Hyde in the safety position, he might be able to play that more of a ball hawk role and end up with more interceptions this season.
Ryan, I want to throw an over under at you. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Josh Allen has yet to throw for 300 yards as a professional quarterback. Over under for Josh Allen in 2020, over under 2.5 300 yard passing games.
I'm going to go with under. I'm going to say he hits 300 once or twice, but not more than that, just because of the way this team is built. They're built to not be in those one shootout scenarios. and to those scenarios where they're playing from behind big. And a lot of the time, that's where those 300-yard games come from, is those garbage time scenarios. And I don't see the team being built that way. But, you know, you have a Thursday night game against the Chiefs. That might be a shootout where you have to throw early and often. I could see that being a 300-yard game against that defense, although much improved. I could see Allen having some success there. And then maybe a game, you know, I'll just throw out a random game, maybe like a Cardinals game, because of that being a fun type of shootout game with Kyler Murray, against Kyler Murray as well. So maybe those are two games where he hits that for the first two times in his career. But I don't see it happening a lot, just because of the way this team is built on offense and defense.
Ryan, you're always gracious to join us here in the sports bar and talk about the Buffalo Bills. I want to talk about some of the stuff that you and Perino have been doing over there at NewYorkUpstate.com, because it's a lot of fun. Gene and I always kind of like laughed, especially early infancy of the sports bar, talking about how the Buffalo Bills really lack any kind of like celebrity fandom. Like, who do we have? Nick Bakay? I mean, is that the best that we can do? Nick Bakay, really? You had the chance to talk to a diehard Bills fan from Hollywood, actor Chad Michael Murray. What was that conversation like?
You know, that was pretty cool, because we had been trying to set that up for a little bit. And obviously, before all of this, he was very, very busy with different projects, whether he was producing or behind the camera or in front of the camera. Still obviously very busy. I mean, this guy still is doing projects from home. He has kids. He has a wife. He has a pretty busy life. So to be able to finally get a date set with him was nice, but really down-to-earth guy, and wasn't just that casual celebrity that says he reps the team. I mean, one, you could go to his Instagram or social media platforms and see this guy lives and breathes the Bills. He's wearing the stuff all the time. He talked about how he got in a little bit of trouble throwing out the first pitch at a Dodgers game because he wouldn't take off his Buffalo Bills hat. Yeah, you know, he through and through, he's a Bills fan, but he even went back and talked about those days that he was on One Tree Hill, and he's doing all these series, and they would shoot on a Sunday. So he was one of the first people to buy NFL Sunday tickets so he could watch games from his trailer. So he is grandfathered into that $99 per season deal that a lot of people can't get on a year-to-year basis. So this guy lives and breathes the Bills. If fans can be in attendance this year, he told us that his season tickets he's had for about 20 years now. He'll continue to come to games at New Era Field, but he'll also try to get one or two road games. I believe he mentioned the Raiders game specifically, and he said he couldn't do the 49ers. But there was another West Coast game that he said he would try to get to.
Is there any Bills fan that hasn't already made their plans for Vegas? I feel like that's an automatic, right?
Maybe some that have a certain budget in mind, because those tickets, holy cow.
Yeah.
When I saw what they were going for, I mean, I get it. New venue, new stadium, state of the art. But boy, oh boy, you're going to be pinching pennies if you want to go to that game. Obviously, I think those diehard fans, whether, you know, the common Joe or the celebrities, are going to try to go to that one, though. You're right. If there was one game I would circle, that would be the one in terms of one I'd want to go to on the road.
Well, listen, I mean, if you're pinching pennies and you're not interested in paying face for those tickets, you know, there's something to be said for making the trip to Vegas for the weekend and watching the Bills game from the comfort of a sports book in Vegas, which is unlike anything that we have around here. It's still a pretty good trip, worthwhile.
Yeah, I agree with that. I haven't been to Vegas during football season, but I went with some of my buddies the year after I graduated from college. So we're going way back to 2007. But you're right. You go into those sports books, those sports bars, it's pretty exciting nonetheless, no matter what's going on there in terms of the world of sports.
And Ryan, there was one other piece that I know you guys posted at NewYorkUpstate.com. And just the headline alone made me kind of look sideways and be like, what? Explain the story of how Josh Allen was almost a Seattle Seahawk.
Yeah, you know, it was brought up last year, but it was before the Josh Allen part was mentioned. So before the Seattle Seahawks paid big money to Russell Wilson, I think it was something like $134 million on this latest deal, they were considering trading him for the number one overall pick in that 2018 draft. And according to Chris Sims of NBC Sports, the quarterback that they would have taken with that number one pick would have been Josh Allen. Huh. So, you know, Baker Mayfield would not be on the Browns. You'd have Russell Wilson there. And I feel bad for Browns fans bringing that story up, because, you know, no offense to Baker Mayfield, he showed some things as a rookie. He had a little bit of a down season last year, but he could bounce back. especially with this new coaching regime. But to be able to sit there and say, we could have had Russell Wilson, a guy that I would say is probably a top two, top three quarterback in this league. You know, that's something that I'm sure they're saying, I wish we could have ended up pulling off that deal. But it's kind of interesting to see, you know, who would the Bills have ended up with? Would the Jets still have gone with Sam Darnold, or would they have gone with Baker Mayfield? Would the Bills still have traded up? It's a really interesting scenario, because we know now that the Bills really were all in on Josh Allen. This regime loved him. So if he had come off the board, who knows how that would have played out? But it's also interesting to think about from a sports perspective, or NFL perspective in general, because what if the Seahawks were right and that is the right move, where once you pay a quarterback big money, it's hard to keep those other cornerstones in place. Maybe they had the right idea in terms of, we can be a year in, year out Super Bowl contender as long as we can keep hitting on the quarterback position. So, you know, we draft them, we build them up for those 5 years, and after that fifth year option, we end up, or maybe franchising for another year, and we end up trading them off, and we keep doing that. Because if you do that, you're not paying that huge $100 million deal over so many years, and you can keep those other pieces, because we're getting to that point now with the Buffalo Bills where you're sitting there saying, we can't keep everyone. So you have to start sitting there and saying, all right, who's next on that list? Is it going to be Matt Milano, Deion Dawkins? Can you keep both of them? Because then down the road, sooner rather than later, you're going to have to pay Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds. And it's going to get harder and harder, because there's going to be so many mouths to feed, and you can't pay them all, that eventually you are going to have to part ways with some of these guys. Where, you know, I've been talking about John Brown. I think that unfortunately when his contract's up in a few seasons, he's the guy that won't be in their plans, because you have Diggs under contract. You're hoping that Gabe Davis comes along and can develop over that time. So it's just one of those scenarios where you have to wonder if the Seahawks had pulled off that trade, if that would be the new blueprint for this league in terms of quarterback play.
I think that entire quarterback class of 2018 is a fascinating study in continuity. When you look at what Josh Allen has been able to do with the same kind of coaching regime and not a lot of change in his day-to-day progression and his development, versus what you have in Baker Mayfield in Cleveland and the inconsistencies there with different coaches coming in every year, different coordinators, and Sam Darnold. You can make the argument that both of those quarterbacks may be better quarterbacks than Josh Allen, but they've been faced with a lot of adversity early in their year in terms of the stability and surroundings. And Lamar Jackson might end up being the best out of all of them with a stable organization in Baltimore and just freakish athletic ability, more so than anybody else in that class.
Yeah, there's absolutely something to be said about that. And you're right, having the same head coach, having the same offensive coordinator, that is huge for Josh Allen. And that's something that not everyone can have. And now you're going into year three, you're going to have the same offensive line, unless a guy like Darrell Williams comes along and takes one of those starting spots, and then you might have to move some players around. But for the most part, this starting talent is there for him, and they keep upgrading the talent around him. So now you have a Stephon Diggs, you have a Dawson Knox entering year two. So that's huge for Josh Allen. But for, you know, Baker Mayfield, yeah, he went through a pretty bad head coach last year, but he had so much talent around him, you thought that maybe he could persevere and overcome that. And he has even more this year. So if he isn't able to take another step this year, you know, that might be pretty, I don't know what the right word is. It would kind of say that maybe this isn't our guy, because you look at that talent on both sides of the ball that the Browns have, but especially in offense, he should be able to make some noise this year and be a real threat in the AFC within his own division. So if something doesn't happen there, who knows? But, you know, and then you even go and look at a guy that doesn't get talked about anymore as with the rest of this class, the first round talent, Josh Rosen. This poor guy was written off, and now he's in Miami and he's written off there as well. I don't want to say I'm cheering for Josh Rosen, but in a way I am. I want to see this guy land somewhere where it's a stable organization, where I'm not saying he's going to start in year one, because he shouldn't. He should have to prove himself, but put him somewhere where he has a good offensive mind, where he can at least learn for a year or two. And then maybe if there's an injury at the position, he can come in and prove it. You know, hey, I really did belong in that first round class. But you're right, the cards that you get dealt in the NFL can have you out of this league or as an afterthought within 2 years, 3 years. You're looking at Chicago with Mitch Trubisky. They went from saying, hey, maybe we have something here, to, hey, the first time he does something wrong, we're benching him, and that's it. So quarterbacks, I think that they're on such short leashes now, more than ever before, that you're right. The having the same head coach, the same offensive coordinator, the same talent is huge. And going to Darnold, because he's the one I really haven't addressed yet, they really went out, Joe Douglas really went out and addressed the offensive line, but I'm really not sure it's that great even after the draft. I like the Becton pick, but George Fant is your best signing along that offensive line in free agency. I'm not sure that's doing him any favors. I'm not sure that you added any weapons on offense that can help him immediately, because you lost your down the field threat in Robbie Anderson, a guy that actually had really good chemistry with Sam Darnold, and you're replacing him with Rashad Perriman, who, yes, had a really good last 4 to 5 games of the 2019 season in Tampa Bay, but he's kind of who knows if he's actually an upgrade at that position. And then you drafted Denzel Mims, a guy that was being drafted as a first round talent in a lot of mock drafts, but I don't think he's expected to be an impact player here in year one. So who's to know how it's all going to pan out? But you're right, this class is so interesting from so many different perspectives.
Ryan, it's always great to have you in the sports bar, even if it's after hours. Before we wrap things up, what are you and Matt working on here for the site here over the course of the next few weeks?
Yeah, we're going to start looking at position battles, some different scenarios of how that could pan out. So probably picking 10 position battles that are most intriguing to us and breaking them down one at a time, one per week, and taking several different angles on that.
Cool. We can't wait to see that. And as always, thank you for joining us here in the Sports Bar, Ryan. Love having these conversations.
Hey, my pleasure. Love always coming on the Sports Bar.
You got it. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com is where you can read more of his work. And of course, you can follow him on Twitter. Always worth the follow as well. Ryan Talbot Bills on Twitter. The Sports Bar After Hours, here with another episode again tomorrow. We appreciate you checking us out wherever you enjoy podcasts, here at ESPNRochester.com or the radio.com app. Stay healthy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.